So this morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 7, Text Number 19. Tovyam cha Narada Prasang Bhagavan Vibhidha. Bhavena Saru Paritusta Uvacha Yogam. Jnanam cha Bhagavatam Atma Sat. Vata Deepam. Yad Vasudeva Sarana Vir Anjasaiva. Tubhyam unto you, cha also. Narada, O Narada, Brisham. Very nicely. Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. Vridha, developed. Bhavena, by transcendental love. Saru, your goodness. Praetushta, being satisfied. Uvacha, described. Yogam, service. Jnanam, knowledge. Cha, also. Bhagavatam, the science of God and His devotional service. Atma, the self. Tatattva, with all details. Deepam, just like the light in the darkness. Yat, that which. Vasudeva Sarana, those who are soul surrendered unto Lord Vasudev. Vidu, know them. Unjasa, perfectly well. Eva, as it is. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace. Srila Prabhupada ki. O Narada, you were taught about the science of God and His transcendental loving service by the personality of Godhead in His incarnation as of Hansavatara. He was very much pleased with you due to your intense proportion of devotional service. He also explained unto you lucidly the full science of devotional service, which is especially understandable by persons who are souls surrendered unto Lord Vasudeva, the personality of Godhead. Purport. The devotee and devotional service are two correlative terms. Unless one is inclined to be a devotee of the Lord, he cannot enter into the intricacies of devotional service. Lord Sri Krishna wanted to explain the Bhagavad Gita, which is the science of devotional service, unto Sri Arjuna, because Arjuna was not only his friend, but a devotee as well. The whole process is that all living entities, being constitutionally parts and parcels of the Supreme Living Being, the Absolute Personality of Godhead, have proportionately minute independence of action also. So the preliminary qualification for entering into the devotional service of the Lord is that one becomes a willing cooperator. And as such, one should voluntarily cooperate with persons who are already engaged in the transcendental devotional service of the Lord. By cooperating with such persons, the prospective candidate will gradually learn the techniques of devotional service, and with the progress of such learning, one becomes proportionately free from the contamination of material association. Such a purificatory process will establish the prospective candidate in firm faith and gradually elevate him to the stage of transcendental taste for such devotional service. Thus, he acquires a genuine attachment for the devotional service of the Lord, and his conviction carries him on to the point of ecstasy. just prior to the stage of transcendental love. Such knowledge of devotional service may be divided into two sections, namely the preliminary knowledge of the nature of devotional service and the secondary knowledge of its execution. Bhagavatam is in relation with the personality of Godhead, his beauty, fame, opulence, dignity, attraction, and transcendental qualities which attract one towards him for exchanges of love and affection. There is a natural affinity for the living entity, for the loving service of the Lord. This affinity becomes artificially covered by the influence of material association, and Srimad Bhagavatam helps one very genuinely remove that artificial covering. Therefore, it is particularly mentioned herein that Srimad Bhagavatam acts like the lamp of transcendental knowledge. These two sections of transcendental knowledge and devotional service become revealed to a person who is a soul surrendered unto Vasudeva, as it is said in the Bhagavad Gita 7:19. Such a great soul, fully surrendered unto the lotus feet of Vasudeva, is very, very rare. Very nice purport. Prabhupada is explaining so much about the process of devotional service. So his first sentence, he says, devotional service, the devotee and devotional service are two co-relative terms. Unless one is inclined to be a devotee of the Lord, he cannot enter into the intricacies of devotional service. So it's interesting that one of the symptoms of a devotee is that he doesn't think that he's a devotee. So if you feel like you're not a devotee, that's healthy. That's good. I remember one devotee, he wrote a poem to Prabhupada. And in this poem, he was saying that he was a devotee and that he's trying to surrender to Krishna and like that. And Prabhupada wrote back and he said, very nice poem, but a devotee never thinks that he's a devotee. And an amazing example is that of Krishnadas Kaviraj, who he says that he's lower than a worm in stool. Anybody chants his name loses all good qualities. So a devotee doesn't think he's a devotee. We're trying to become devotees. A devotee never thinks that I've made it. Now I'm a devotee. Now I'm a pure devotee. No, he never thinks that. Humility. Then Prabhupada goes on to say, Lord Krishna wanted to explain the Bhagavad Gita, which is the science of devotional service, unto Sri Arjuna, because he was not only a friend, but a great devotee as well. So, everyone is connected to Krishna. But now, as Prabhupada mentions in the purport, we're covered. We don't know that we're devotees. We don't know that we're servants of Krishna. Avartam jnanam etena jnanino nityarayana kamarupena kaunteya duspareena nalena cha. Krishna says the wise living entity's pure consciousness is covered by his eternal enemy in the form of lust, which is never satisfied and which burns like fire. So this pure love of Krishna, it's covered by these material desires. So this process is the process of uncovering. Just like sometimes, like yesterday, part of yesterday, we had some clouds and rain. So the city was covered by clouds. But now the clouds are going away. So we're also covered by these clouds of Maya. There's different types of clouds. You know, there's hurricane clouds, there's typhoon clouds, there's volcano clouds. You know. smoke. Sometimes it'll just cover whole countries. The smoke from volcanoes. There's rain clouds, regular rain. So there's so many different types of clouds. So there's different coverings of the living entity also. There's the greed covering. There's the lust covering. There's the anger covering. So all these different coverings that cover the soul. But I have good news. These coverings are all temporary. Just like the clouds that are going over Melbourne, they're temporary. They'll go away. But we have to endeavor to become free of these contaminated clouds. And then we can see Krishna. It's because we're covered that we can't see Krishna. And by this practice, eventually we enter into the mysterious region of transcendence. Prabhupada mentioned just in a purport. We enter into the mysterious region of transcendence. It's a nice region. Now we're in the gross material region of sense gratification. Not a nice region to be in, as we've all experienced. But to be in the region of transcendence, of loving service to Krishna, this is nice. But in the beginning, we're trying to enter into this region of transcendence. It can be a little difficult. It doesn't appear to be very nice because it's an austerity. To enter into pure devotional service, it's an austerity. We have to perform austerities. And sometimes it becomes a little rough. And it becomes so rough sometimes that people get off the path and they go back onto the path of Maya. Maya makes it look like very nice. Maya's expert. She's a very expert magician. She makes the path of Maya look so nice. But it's not nice. And the path of bhakti appears so difficult, so austere. But that which is in the mode of goodness, it appears bitter, very difficult in the beginning. But then, at the end, like nectar. Maya appears so nice in the beginning. And then, it becomes like poison. Just like imagine someone's on a road, and he's trying to go somewhere. But the road is a little rough. Yeah. It's like some of our roads in India, a little rough. You know, potholes in the road, real rough. Sometimes it's a very rough ride. And sometimes you see cars stuck in potholes. You know? Couldn't get the car out. So a little rough sometimes. I experienced that also in Russia. Roads are not very nice. So if you're driving down a road, you're trying to go somewhere, and the road is not very nice. But then on the side, you see another road. It looks very nice, smooth paved. And there's flower bushes on the side, and palm trees. Very nice, beautiful road. And why am I on this road? I'm going to go on that road. So he gets off the rough road, and he goes on this nice, smooth road, nice flowers. But there's a problem there. So he's going for miles and miles, but there's a problem there. What's the problem? No, the problem is he's going the wrong way. He's going the wrong way. I mean, it may appear nice, but he had a destiny going another way, although the road that he was taking was a little rough, but at least he was going to get to his destination. But now when you're going the wrong way, what do you have to do? You got to backtrack. Yeah. It's a nice road he's going, but he's not reaching his destination. So then he's got to backtrack to go to the actual destiny. Right? So this road may appear a little rough sometimes, a little austere. But austerity is the wealth of the brahmanas. Austerity is good. It's very good. Because austerity means purification. There's one statement Prabhupada says, the fire of ordeal. The fire is very purifying. One of the most purifying things is fire. So this path of devotional service, it's a fire. It's a sacrificial fire in which we're getting purified of our material desires. Sometimes we're a little impatient. It's going too slow. I'm advancing too slowly. I don't feel it happening. I don't feel like I'm advancing. But if you don't feel like you're advancing, then that's also good. That actually means you're advancing. There's an interesting thing that happened with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. The three devotees went to him and they said, "We've decided to leave Krishna consciousness because we don't feel like we're making any progress." And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he smiled and he was very happy. "I'm so happy to hear you say that. Because if you were to come to me and say, 'You know, Maharaj, we really feel this process is working, we're getting purified, we're making an advancement, I feel like I should be a pure devotee within a couple of months. And thank you for bringing us to this Krishna consciousness.'" He said, "I would have been very unhappy." So he said, "This is good. You don't feel that you're making an advancement. That's good. That's good. That gives you impetus to continue on. And a devotee never feels like he's been a success." So he spoke to them for about 2 hours on this point, and they never left because they understood another point that they didn't understand before. We're trying to advance in Krishna consciousness. It's kind of ironic, isn't it? We're trying to advance in Krishna consciousness, but a devotee never feels that he's advanced. Interesting. Therefore, humility. Lower than the straw in the street. Devotee feels lower than the straw in the street. Even the very advanced devotees, just like Prabhupada, he was given a lecture. And in this lecture, he was describing the different classes, the Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, the Sudras, first class, second class, third class, fourth class. And one person in the audience, he said he was a little bit challenging. So he asked Prabhupada, "So which class are you in?" And Prabhupada replied, "I'm in the fifth class because I'm servant of all." Interesting. Now here you have the Shaktivesh Avatar, pure devotee, spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. And this is how he feels. Fifth class, because I'm servant of all. So this gives you an idea of an actually advanced devotee. He doesn't feel like he's advanced, although we want to advance. So, kind of interesting. So then Prabhupada goes on to say, the whole process is that all living entities being constitutionally parts and parcels of the Supreme Living Being, the Absolute Personality of God, have proportionately minute independence of action. So according to the degree that we're attracted to Krishna, to that proportion where our attraction to Maya has decreased. So if we're only attracted to Krishna, then there's no more attraction to Maya. And if we're only attracted to Maya, then there's no attraction to Krishna. Just like we see many times, we're out on book distribution or we're preaching Krishna consciousness, doing Harinam, and many people have no attraction whatsoever. Not interested at all. So then what is their interest? then their interest is 100% in Maya. And sometimes you see really fixed up devotees just absorbed in hearing and chanting the glories of Krishna. That is Prabhupada. No attraction to Maya. Like sometimes on Harinam you might see, I've seen it before, sometimes we're on Harinam and people will walk by like this, with their fingers in their ears. They don't want to hear anything about Krishna. And one time, devotees were on Harinam, and they went back to the temple. Prabhupada was there. And they said there was one person like that was walking by, and they had their fingers in their ears. And they asked Prabhupada, what is the destiny of someone like that? They didn't even want to hear his name, nothing. And Prabhupada said, that means that in their next life, they'll be in a place where it will not be possible for them to hear Krishna's name. And there's places on the planet right now where you cannot hear Krishna's name at all. Saudi Arabia and China, places like this. You'll never hear Krishna's name. Actually, some places in China, although there's no Harinam, you can't have Harinam, but there are some kirtans going on. And the Chinese government, they also know there was some members of the Chinese government who became devotees undercover just to see what we're doing. So they became full-on Hare Krishnas for months. They were chanting Hare Krishna and they were going to all the programs. But they're communist, full-on communist. Right there with the devotees. They were just making a show like they were devotees. And eventually they went back to their jobs. And they informed the higher-ups of what the Hare Krishnas are doing. And they said, oh, they're innocent. We can leave them alone. They're not doing too much. They're not going out and trying to make members. They're low-key. As long as they stay low-key, we can let them continue. So they know about all the devotees in China in this way. And in Brazil also, they did the same thing in the early days of Krishna consciousness. And two undercover policemen, they joined the Hare Krishna movement. And they also did a very good show, acting like they were devotees, just investigating, seeing where they're at, seeing if there's anything dangerous here or suspicious. So they were there for about 6 months, just checking everything out, getting close to the leaders and everybody and just finding out everything that's going. But the result with these two is they became devotees. They became devotees. They gave up their police jobs. They can see this is actually better, and they're still devotees. And sometimes people, they can't understand. Just like I was just recently in distributing books in Gold Coast, and one lady went to Garuda Prabhu, and she said, you Hare Krishnas, your philosophy is very bad. Everything is very bad. She said, I know, I investigated you people. And he could understand that she didn't understand. She didn't investigate. She was just making a show. And then he said, actually, if you really investigated our philosophy, our movement, then you would become a member of our society. And she was shocked that he said that. He could understand that she didn't. And some people, they fear, some religions, they fear Hare Krishnas because so many Christians became devotees. And even one Christian pastor, he went to Prabhupada and he said, I can't understand. All these boys that you have, They're our boys. They're Christian boys. And they had no interest in God. But now they're mad after God. I can't understand. What are you giving them? And Prabhupada was pleased to hear that. Because this is something that's real. That there's real spiritual life here. Another preacher went to Prabhupada and said, similar, he said, these are our boys. But they left us and they joined you and now they're all bright-faced. They're all bright-faced. They weren't like that before. And now you've turned them into bright-faced, mad after God. So this is Krishna consciousness. You become bright-faced. So with this, there was one religion that was really trying to convince the members, don't, you know, go around Hare Krishnas. Don't listen to Hare Krishnas. It's all brainwashed. You know, the leaders get all the money. And they were, again and again, they were preaching against Hare Krishna. So there's one of the members, she was thinking, why are they harping on the Hare Krishna so much? Why are they knocking them so much? So then she thought, well, maybe there's something there, actually, and they're afraid. Yeah. So maybe there is actually something in the Hare Krishna philosophy. So she got some small books, and she was checking it out. It was kind of interesting. And then I met her in the airport, in the Los Angeles airport. And she said, oh, you're a Hare Krishna? I said, yeah, I'm a Hare Krishna. She said, I'll tell you something interesting, that I used to be with the Jehovah's Witnesses, and they used to knock the Hare Krishna so much. And they were knocking him so much that I was thinking like that. I was thinking, maybe there's something there. So I went and I investigated. I got some small books and I talked to some of your people. And you people are very nice and your philosophy is very nice. So I gave up Jehovah's Witnesses and now I'm a Hare Krishna. So it backfired. So she didn't have a Bhagavad Gita yet, so I had Bhagavad Gita. So she bought a Bhagavad Gita from me. So kind of interesting. And in America, I don't know if they had them here. In America they had deprogrammers. They had them here also?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they didn't only take people away from the Hare Krishnas, although that's where it started, because so many parents were upset that their children were joining the Hare Krishna movement. And they didn't like that. They were spending so much money. There was one, anyway, the continuing on with this, some of the deprogrammers, they confided in some of the devotees that we take people away from a lot of religions, but the Hare Krishnas are the toughest. Because once the devotees, many times they'll escape. And once sometimes they fool them, like, yeah, yeah, I'm finished with this Hare Krishna now. Yeah. And they'll make a show, you know, or something. They'll act like they've drank in some wine or something. They'll, you know, spit it out somewhere or something. They'll make a show like they're finished with it. But then they go back to the Hare Krishna temple many times. You know, they'll just go back to the temple and they continue on. So their parents wasted so much money. And there was even one instance where the parents spent $20,000 to get their daughter away from the Hare Krishna movement. And she tricked them. And after they let her go, she went back to the temple. And this girl, she was, because the mother still had some affection for her daughter, naturally. So the girl was gradually, she was preaching to the mother. And eventually, the mother became a devotee. And she was lamenting, I spent so much money, $20,000 they would pay to these deprogrammers to get their children away. Yeah. She said, I wasted so much money. I could have used that money in so many good ways. Yeah. She was lamenting. Yeah. So in the beginning, people, they don't understand. A little unusual. Our dress. Our behavior. But once people come close, they hear our philosophy. They associate with the devotees. And then it's very rare that they can't appreciate, because it is a very nice, sublime process, philosophy. Everything is so nice about, as Prabhupada said, one time a reporter asked, "So what do you all do for recreation?" He said, "Well, we chant, we dance, and we take prasad. It's all recreation." It's a nice process. And even though we're not pure yet, still, we get so much benefit, and it's an enjoyable, you know. I mean, who else dances at 4:30 in the morning? It's such a nice process, you know. We wake up early in the morning, and we're dancing at 4:30. So nice. Nice philosophy. Nice leader, pure leader, Srila Prabhupada, and so many other devotees. So it's just a nice thing. And alternatively, what else do we have? Maya. Maya's not so nice. You know, all the illusion, the confusion. But this is such a nice process. All we have to do is stick with it. All we have to do is follow Prabhupada's message. There was one devotee that was having some difficulty, and so he asked me to give him some guidance. So I said, actually, it's such, Prabhupada has set up such a nice process. And all we have to do is follow. As Prabhupada said, it's simple for those who are not complicated. But for those who are complex, then it's very difficult. It's simple. Chant Hare Krishna. Take prasadam. Read the books. And this way we'll advance. We'll get purified. So then Prabhupada, this is such a nice purport. I thought I'd just like gradually go through it. So nice. Then Prabhupada says, so the preliminary qualification for entering into the devotional service of the Lord is that one become a willing cooperator. That we just cooperate. We came here, actually, to compete with God. We wanted to be God. Right? But actually, the way to achieve perfection is to cooperate. Just cooperate with Krishna. Do what he wants us to do. That's right. Don't compete. We shouldn't compete with Krishna. Who can compete with Krishna? So many people are trying to. Poundraka. He wanted to compete with Krishna. But he was defeated. Such a joke. Huh? It's a joke to compete with Krishna. He's so great. The better thing to compete is to cooperate. Just do whatever Krishna wants. And Srila Prabhupada has very kindly set everything up so nicely that it's very clear what Krishna wants of us. Most important is that we remember Krishna in all our activities. Try to remember Krishna. And that's what this whole morning program is about. Chanting our 16 rounds, going to class, you know, Mangal Arati, Guru Puja, all this is to infuse in us this Krishna consciousness. So we come out of the morning program and we're infused with Krishna. So that's so that we could remember Krishna throughout the day. It's not that we chant our 16 rounds and then that's it. No more Krishna. No. That's to set up a momentum so throughout the day we can think of Krishna. That's why we're doing all this meditation. So throughout the day we can meditate on Krishna, think of Krishna. Remember his name, form, qualities, pastimes. And if we do this year after year after year after year after year, then purification will be there, undoubtedly. As long as we're not offensive. Therefore, we have these 10 offenses. That's why Prabhupada had these 10 offenses, so that we could know this is what we have to avoid. If we can continue doing this process and avoid the 10 offenses, then Prabhupada said, I guarantee you, you'll go back to Godhead. When Prabhupada makes a guarantee, then Krishna has to stick with his word. He said, you chant 16 rounds a day, you follow the four regular principles, I guarantee you'll go back to Godhead. But that's not easy. So many have not been able to do that. So in order to do that, we have to keep our Krishna consciousness very fresh. And that's by reading. By reading Prabhupada's books, we keep that Krishna consciousness fresh. This gives us an understanding of why we're doing everything that we're doing. And if we don't do this, then we forget. Just like an example is given of the two villages, and there's so much movement between the villages, then at one point they stop moving back and forth, and they all stay in one. So the path gets covered. As long as there's so much movement, there's so much, the path is open. It's called a beaten path. But if it's not used anymore, then it gets covered over and by grass. So if we're hearing and we're chanting and trying very sincerely to serve Krishna, then that path to Krishna is very, it's clear. We want to keep that path clear back to Krishna. And that's by hearing and chanting very nicely, attentively. Everything has to be done very attentively. I'll tell you one story and then we'll stop. There's one sage. He's going through one village in India. And they're building a beautiful temple. And there's so many workers. So the sage, he goes to one worker and he says, why are you doing this? And he says, oh, this is a temple of Vishnu. I'm going to come here, I'm going to worship Vishnu. I want to help in building this temple. It's so auspicious. A temple of Vishnu is being built in our village. I want to be a part of it. I just want to do it as service. So he goes to another, the sage goes to another guy. Why are you doing this? I have to feed my family. I got to put a roof over their head. I got to work. I'm a householder. I'm doing this to get some revenue to maintain my family. Okay. Goes to another guy. Says, why are you doing this? I like to work. I'm a hard worker. I like to work. I like to keep busy. I just like to work. I like to work hard. 16 hours a day I like to work. I'm a worker. I like to work. That's why I'm doing it. So you see, they're all doing the same thing. But the consciousness is different in all of them. Just like in Bhagavatam class. We're all sitting in Bhagavatam class. So one person may be thinking, wow, this is such an inspiring class. I hope it continues going and going. Another person's thinking, how long is it going to go on? This is so boring. Another person's thinking, come on, Prabhu, it's prasadam. We're going to take prasadam. Come on, call it off. Ask for questions or something. So we're all in the same, but then there's different mentalities. And then someone else is just sleeping. So we should all come to Bhagavatam to hear, try to understand what Krishna is saying, what Prabhupada is saying. And sometimes, even if it's a boring class, you'll get something. Anyway. We could always get something out of Bhagavatam class. We should try to hear. And the audience is also very important. Not just the speaker, but the audience. If the audience is enthusiastically hearing, then that inspires. That inspires the speaker. I remember in Los Angeles, there's one devotee giving class. And generally, he doesn't give a very good class. Some people give good class. Quite often devotees would sleep in his class. But there was one devotee that had a plan. He's going to sit right in front of this devotee. And he's just going to be so enthusiastically hearing him. He's going to be, he was nodding. You know, whenever the devotee would make a point, he would nod, and he was standing up, and he was just like, he was so enthusiastically hearing this devotee that it was a good class. He was inspired. The speaker became inspired by this one devotee that was just so enthusiastically hearing that it was the best class he ever gave. Because of that one devotee that was so enthusiastically hearing. Interesting. I was impressed by that. So on that note, any question or comment? Okay. Yes?
Just one comment. You said, if we love somebody, we'll do everything to the best of our ability. We'll give him the best food, we'll give him the best comfort. If we love Krishna, we'll do everything. Especially preaching, the most important.
Yeah. Yeah. We should always try to give Krishna the best, yeah, the best of everything. Therefore, he gets nice prasadam, right? And we should also come here at Mangal Artik and greeting the deities for the pleasure of Krishna, not that we try to enjoy Krishna. We're here for the pleasure of Krishna. Yeah. So Krishna is very pleased when it's a full room. Like Krishna, he's seeing this now that we're hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. This is for his pleasure, to speak about Krishna, to hear about Krishna, to offer bhoga for the pleasure of Krishna, to remember Krishna for his... Everything is for his pleasure. Thank you. Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.